That was an extreme stocking rate that resulted in those calves only gaining a pound a day while they were on their mama. Well, everybody in the room knows that if a calf doesn't gain 2 pounds a day while he's on his mama, something's wrong. Well, these calves only gained a pound a day while they were on their mom, and they were leaner when they weaned them. They had a lower condition score versus the calves on the medium stocking rate, which gained 2.3, and those on the low stocking rate, which gained 2.7 while they were on their mom. Now, that's what happened before we weaned them. What I want to show you now, the important part is, after we weaned them, how did they do? Well, as many of you might suspect, the calves that were on the low stocking rate, down there at the bottom, on their mama, remember they gained 2.7 pounds a day? For the first 7 days post-weaning, they lost 5 pounds a day. For the first 21 days post-weaning, they gained 0.6 of a pound. And for the 41-day overall time period, they gained 1 pound. On the contrary, calves on a really high stocking rate, up at the top, for the first 7 days, didn't lose much weight. They'd been used to short grass, turned it around really quickly, and in fact had a lot of compensatory gain during that time period. I think a lot of people could have excellent preconditioning results in terms of their gain when we're dealing with calves out of a drought area or an overstock situation. I think you get better gain out of that situation than you would normally. The study I showed you earlier by Mr. Savell, that one actually, this is a follow-up on that, or the initial work on that particular study, that actually looked at maybe a little bit of the biology behind that. This is the impact of condition score on preconditioning average daily gain. This won't surprise any of you. Fat calves over here that are slightly fleshy on this side actually gained only 0.75 pounds during preconditioning. On the other hand, thin calves gained about 1 pound a day. Thus, you all have all known for years, buyers have discriminated, we don't want those fat calves. This is further data to support why that happens, because they won't do anything post-weaning. They won't turn around and put that weight on post-weaning. They'd rather have them slightly thin. So that means that calves that come out of a drought area that may be a little bit thin may be a good opportunity for you to precondition. The real question I know lots of you are asking, though, is who's going to pay me to do this? If preconditioning is such a good idea for the feeder and the packer, who's going to pay me? How am I going to make more money at this? And I'm not so sure that's the right question. Kind of like this guy, I'm not sure we're asking the right question. What's a mountain goat doing way up here in the cloud bank? Well, the question I think we ought to be asking is, can I get the same results and spend less money? That's what I'm interested in, because really, when you look at preconditioning, it's about controlling the cost side of things for the most part. You've got to do an economic analysis very carefully. These guys have obviously spent a lot of time on their economics. And when you look at the economic analysis of preconditioning, it all depends on which side of the fence you're looking from as to how it comes out. So I'll go through some of my thoughts on that as well. Sometimes we oversell things. Preconditioning has probably been one of those that we've been guilty of overselling for the last 10 or 15 years. It's not always a good idea, and it's certainly not a good idea for everybody. It depends on your operation. Is it always profitable? It depends on many factors. It depends on the genetic potential of the calves. It depends on the market demand for calf type, for a certain calf type. It depends on the uniformity of the calves you're talking about. It depends on shifts in calf prices from the time you wean them until you sell them. It depends on your feed cost, your feed availability, and your labor availability. How much premium should I expect if I'm going to precondition my calves? Most data would suggest 1.5 to 6 cents, based upon the research that's out there. Now, that's research data. In the real world, the numbers are probably closer to 5 to 8 cents premium, okay, overall, with 5 to 6 cents being the norm most of the time. Some of the really good work that's been done out of Kansas State would suggest that if those preconditioned calves were sold in the winter, they brought less premium. If they were heavier, they brought less premium. And when markets are strong, like they are right now, they bring less premium. So premiums on these type of calves usually decline when prices are high. In reality, they ought to go up. You look at the proportion and the amount of money being spent on a calf right now. You guys out here selling $750 calves. If I was buying a $750, $800 calf, or better yet, a $1,000 or $1,100 yearling, I'd sure enough want to know that that calf had some health behind him. And I would be a little more willing to pay a slight amount more for a calf that had been weaned. Unfortunately, that's usually not the way it happens, okay? Because they're working on a margin more than anything else. I think you got to ask, what are your priorities? I think it depends on your operation as to the decisions you make economically. If you're going to precondition calves for a special sale or to sell on a video auction, the economics is going to be paramount of importance. If you're going to precondition and wean your calves at home, then preconditioning becomes, or the economics of preconditioning becomes secondary. You may actually lose a little money on the preconditioning enterprise, but realize that it's going to be offset by generally better average day to gain, better health, and better carcass quality in that feed yard. And you'll make that money back up in the long term. So a lot of that depends on your endpoint as to how you evaluate the economics of preconditioning. One of the big questions that I think is important to look at in preconditioning is, should I do it in the dry lot or should I do it on pasture? And this was some neat work that was done recently out of New Mexico State, where they looked at putting calves in a dry lot and preconditioning them, and they got 1.4 pounds of gain a day out of them versus on pasture where they only got 1.1 pounds. Their feed cost, though, was $60 for cattle in the dry lot versus $11 for cattle on the pasture. Their total cost was $66 versus $14, and their net income was certainly different. Calves preconditioned in the dry lot lost $28 versus those on pasture made $15. I think most successes I have seen with preconditioned calves have involved pasture. They've involved forage because it helps control the cost overall of preconditioning those calves. The other question that comes up is, what about certification? Do the calves need to be certified? There's some work out of Iowa that would suggest that if they are certified by a third party, whether it's a veterinarian or otherwise, that the premium may be slightly larger than if it is uncertified calves. So there's some data to support that overall. I think as a whole, though, most guys buying these calves are willing to go on your word that you did the right thing and precondition the calves. Now, I'm going to wrap this up with some suggestions. If you can't see that very well, this fellow's asleep and he's reading the Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. I'm going to tell you that these are my suggestions and thoughts, and they come with no guarantee that something might not go wrong associated with these. I think there's a lot of potential for preconditioning undervalued or over-discounted calves. In my part of the world, heifers are way discounted. Back in the spring, they were at a $20 discount compared to steers. There's an opportunity there to precondition those calves and add value to them. Non-black calves sometimes are over-discounted. Calves of a genotype that's been discriminated against, sometimes there's opportunity to precondition those calves and make more money. It will not turn an inferior calf into a superior one, and I should note that. From a positive standpoint, preconditioning controls shrink. It adds extra weight. We can sell calves with added value. And like I showed you earlier, it may be useful in profiling my calves and sorting out those that have the most potential in terms of feedlot and carcass performance. On the negative side, it's not easy. The market can turn south in the time period you precondition these calves, and I have the expenses associated with vaccine and primarily feed. You've got to ask yourself, do the positives outweigh the negatives? I hope I haven't left you with the thought that there's only one way to do this, because there's not. You need to evaluate the cost for your operation and decide whether or not it'll work for you. With that, I hope I haven't left you too confused about my concepts on preconditioning, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here in Nebraska.